I'm joined by Ian Donaldson, who's just been doing a talk on his fantastic new biography of Ben Jonson here at the Shakespeare Centre. Ian, you've been talking about the relationship between Jonson and Shakespeare. How does that strike you after having written this biography? Because they seem to be such different personalities.
They're very different personalities, insofar as you can tell what their personalities are like from a reading of the plays. But Jonson seems to have been, how shall I put it, in some ways more of a modern, in that he's a man who, in his intellectual beliefs, seems to foreshadow the Enlightenment. He's a man who belongs to the spirit of the Royal Society. He is interested in empirical inquiry. He's a skeptic about some of the great intellectual beliefs of his day, like astrology and alchemy, the idea of a literal existence of witches and fairies. Many people in his time, from the most elevated people in society, from Queen Elizabeth herself, King James himself, believed in the idea of stellar powers, of some kind of invisible powers that came from the heavens. They believed also in the literal existence of witches. Jonson didn't believe in these things. He was a slightly mischievous spirit, slightly sceptical spirit. And so his plays don't give you quite the same world that you get in Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream or Tempest. Instead, the world of a play such as The Alchemist is one of, what should I say, sceptical fun.
Thank you. And during the course of the research, you found new documentary material, and your book includes new aspects of Jonson's life. Can you give us some examples of that, please?
Yes, well, the finding, to a large extent, was due to not at all to myself in some cases, but to members of a team who are trying now to complete our big edition of the complete works of Ben Jonson for Cambridge University Press. And my friend James Loxley at the University of Edinburgh discovered, fascinatingly, quite recently, a diary kept by a hitherto unknown and still unidentified young man who walked with Ben Jonson all the way from London to Edinburgh in 1618. And he kept notes on the way, not of what the great man said, but of all the people that they met, the places they went, and things that happened. That's been a wonderful revelation.
Well, that sounds a fascinating part of the journey. And, you know, if you were pushed to say which of Jonson's plays do you think should be performed more often, which would you say? What are we not seeing that you'd like us all to be seeing? What would you like to see?
Yes. Well, there is a difference depending which country you happen to live in. I think in the United States, it's a bit difficult to see productions of Ben Jonson. In Britain, there have been more plays produced, and many of them, something like eight of the not very well-known plays, have been produced in recent years by the Royal Shakespeare Company. But there are still, I think, wonderful plays that haven't been seen really since Jonson's own century. And I think particularly of a play that he thought was his greatest and that many good judges in the period thought also was the great play from the Shakespearean moment. And that is the play performed and published in the year 1611 called Catiline, His Conspiracy. A huge play, very difficult to do for a modern company, very long play, a play that didn't actually succeed on its first performance, but then went on to become really a notable performance piece throughout the 17th century. I'd love to see a performance of that 400 years after its first production.
Sounds like a great challenge to any company, which I should long to see as well. Ian Donaldson, thank you for joining us today. Your biography, Ben Jonson, The Life, is now out by Oxford University Press at £25 in hardback and is available from the Shakespeare Bookshop, Stratford-upon-Avon, and elsewhere. Many thanks indeed.